This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Isaac deserves a facepalm Friday because he made fun of how I dressed. I come to work and he made jokes about how I dressed. So I'm kind of feeling like in this day and age of everybody has to be PC and you better not harass anyone that you work with, that I might have to place a call to PR or HR or whatever it is. Yes, thank you, Isaac. I'll be placing a call to HR to let them know that I felt threatened in the workplace and that some of my fellow employees hurt my feelings because they made fun of how I dressed.
This is slander.
At least I'm not wearing shorts and acting like I'm going to the park.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what you said earlier. That's mean.
I wasn't trying to make fun of you.
What were you trying to do?
I did point out first that you look great.
And then what did you point out?
Thank you. And I said, why are you wearing a dress and heels?
Yeah. And then what did you say?
Do you have an award speech?
Exactly. Like, I'm overdressed because I'm giving an award. So I felt as though I was being pigeonholed and I was not being treated kindly. I don't even know why you would notice. Stop noticing. Just keep your comments about how I'm overdressed to yourself.
Okay.
Okay, good. If I want to wear a dress, I'll wear a dress. And then he argues with me about the last time I wore a dress, which, by the way, was Tuesday. And then he argues with me about why I'm wearing heels. Even though I tried to explain that the dress is long, it's called a maxi dress, and it's long, and I like it. And if I didn't wear heels, which I do wear heels with jeans sometimes, then, nope, shut your mouth, then the dress might be trailing on the floor, and I didn't really want that on a floor that sometimes has been known to not be super clean here at work. And still, I got all kinds of flack for it. It's the last time he's going to see me in a week and a half because he's not here the night I get back to work. And still, all I get is, why are you dressed like that?
People have feelings.
Exactly. This girl has feelings, but also I should be able to come into work in an environment in which I feel accepted and treated equally.
No, we feel below you now.
Whatever. You're all in there wearing your shorts and your hats. I don't want to hear it. I am proud of the dress that I'm wearing, and it is going to Cuba with me, which is actually kind of the idea. It's new, and so I needed to decide how comfortable it was, and I like it. So I put it on, and here I am.
Tom, Pete, and Isaac, love you guys. You're the best.
Can I amend that award speech? I was wearing a gown then, by the way. Heels with sequins on them. They kick ass.
I have no idea what a sequin is or a gown.
Yes, you do. You don't know what a gown is?
Is it a form of dress? A fancy dress?
You honestly should just turn the microphone off and not admit that ever. Is it a fancy dress? Hashtag facepalm Friday. In fact, can we get that cut up and ready to replay later? I honestly have no idea what a gown is. Is it a fancy dress?
Hashtag facepalm Friday.
Thank you, voice god. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
We are adults.
If you would like to see the special video that we recorded before the show, it's a solo A-Law edition of Pre-Law. For those of you who listen on a regular basis, you know exactly what that means. I have a special message for you. Even though Isaac didn't like my dress, I like my dress. Not that you can really see it, and you definitely can't see the heels, but you do get my smiling face. So check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Isaac's turning it into our facepalm page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I cannot wait to see Boogie Cousins with the Golden State Warriors. And it's not anything to do with the basketball. It has to do with the personality and the mix. They need another Draymond, right? Oh, my gosh. Wait until you hear. We'll do this coming up in 15 minutes. DeMarcus Cousins introduced as a member of the Warriors. He's actually laying it all out there and telling you which teammate he likes best. Yeah, no, he's already got a favorite teammate. That's Boogie for you. We don't really get an update on his rehab, only that it's going well, but then he doesn't have a timetable on when he might be ready to resume basketball activity. Speaking of resuming basketball activities, Gordon Hayward is nearly 100% for Boston Celtics fans or for Utah Jazz fans who still support Gordon Hayward. He didn't play last year at all, except for that first quarter, the very beginning of the first quarter. Just a tragic injury, and yet young body, great partners in terms of the medical and the surgical and the rehab, everything else. And now here he is. He's been positive. He stayed optimistic. He appreciates the support. And he made an appearance on Thursday in which he delivered some good news about his basketball condition.
I'm just about full speed. I mean, I'm hopefully going to be playing 5-on-5 in August. And as with everything, kind of see how my ankle reacts to that. I haven't been able to push it that much in like a reactive setting. So, you know, we'll go and test it out and see where it is. But I'm very confident. It feels a lot better after the second surgery. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get back out on the court.
From CSN Boston, Gordon Hayward, who will be playing 5-on-5 in August. And lest you think that sounds like a really long time from now, it's actually not, because we're going into the weekend of July 20th and 21st and the 22nd. So if football training camps can get underway, well, then NBA players will soon be back at it and scrimmaging 5-on-5 to be ready for training camp come October. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, why Boogie Cousins is going to be a must-see with the Golden State Warriors, and it has nothing to do with the basketball. You'll hear that in 10 minutes. But speaking of hoops, there was yet another move. Now, this not the Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan caliber. However, Oklahoma City figured out a way to lop a whole lot of luxury tax off its bill. So in one fell swoop, the Thunder had their luxury tax bill plummet from $150 million to a mere $88.8 million. Now, okay, it's still a lot of money. And it certainly means that they're over the salary cap. They've got the loopholes. They got the exceptions. They're using all of them. But to drop their luxury tax bill from $150 million to under $89 million is a big deal. It will not be a record-setting amount of luxury tax like what they would have had to pay if Carmelo Anthony had remained a member of that roster. He is no longer a member of OKC because the Thunder trade him to Atlanta. But, the story does not end there. He will be waived and will become a free agent, which means he is free to sign wherever he wants. Houston Rockets fans, you could be the team that has a front row seat for Carmelo Anthony in 2018-19.
Who, me?
Miami Heat fans, you could be the proud owner of a Carmelo Anthony jersey. I mean, could you imagine? It's only 5 years late, but after LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh go through, now we could end up with Carmelo Anthony. It's all the banana boat guys. Actually, Bosh wasn't on the banana boat.
Not far.
But he's certainly part of that crew. All we need is Chris Paul to end up in Miami to wrap up his career, and then that would be the parade for the Heat. Anyway, Anthony and his $28 million expiring contract, so he's got 1 year left on it, that is no longer the Thunder's responsibility. And in exchange, The Hawks are allowing guard Dennis Schroeder to depart. They are going to send him to the Thunder, or they're sending him to the Thunder, and he would be the backup point guard behind Russell Westbrook. They actually, in Oklahoma City, had a chance to speak with Schroeder before they made this deal. And so Schroeder and Billy Donovan, the head coach, and Sam Presti, who's the GM, talked about his role to make sure that he was good with it, because he still has 3 years left on his deal. So they would want to bring a guy in who was kind of upset that chemistry and not be happy with his role. You know that the Hawks drafted Trae Young last month, and so by spending a fifth overall pick on him, that means they're going to invest. They want him to be their point guard of the future, but they want the future to start right now. They also brought in Jeremy Lin as a guy who can mentor him and can help to train him and prepare him for the rigors of an NBA season. So Carmelo Anthony, free to choose, which means we could end up getting another uber entertaining press conference. Can someone else please bring up this idea of Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench?
How do you feel about, you know, starting at the four, or the concept of starting at the four, or even coming off the bench? And the second question is...
Who, me?
Oh. I guess that answers that part.
I mean, I don't know where that started, where I came from. Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
Not be funny. My favorite part is where it's like dawning on him and he's processing it. He just keeps laughing, like just chuckling away.
Who, me?
And he says, who, me? Like the guy would be talking to somebody else up there at his introductory press conference. And I've listened to it so many times, I really don't believe it's a fake laugh. I mean, there have been times in the past where Melo has kind of forced that, or Kobe has, but this was genuine. He was processing it, and he's like, what? Me? Come off the bench?
I guess that answers that part.
Good stuff. Anyway, if we could just get another press conference like that, I would be really happy. All right, coming up next, what did I say? Shoot, don't remind me. Oh, why I can't wait for DeMarcus Cousins, even if he's just on the bench to start the season with the Golden State Warriors. Plus, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy launching into round two of the Open Championship. Tiger at even par, so only 5 strokes off the pace when he begins his round two. So we'll let you hear from him. Oh, and it's another banner moment for a woman in a PGA Tour event. Kind of cool. It's not getting a lot of attention, but it'll get some attention here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The Golden State Warriors have won 3 of the last 4 titles, of course, in the NBA. And I'm going to stand by my claim that I would be shocked, I tell you, if it's the Warriors and the Cavaliers again for a 5th straight NBA Finals. But I wouldn't be shocked if it was one or the other. The Warriors take less money to keep their core together, to make sure teammates get paid. Bob Myers and Steve Kerr do a great job from the front office to the coaching staff, providing stability and leadership and recognizing that without these players, without these happy players, then they don't have any of this success. Right now, everything they touch turns up golden. It's the Midas touch, if you must know, for the Golden State Warriors. And Boogie Cousins is yet another example of that. Now, regardless of what you believe about how many offers he had or didn't have, about what the Pelicans were willing to pay him if they ever made a formal extended offer to him, regardless of what you believe, it's pretty obvious there wasn't a major bidding war for DeMarcus Cousins. Coming off the Achilles surgery in late January, missing that entire second half surge for Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo and others, they win a playoff series They go into then a series against the Golden State Warriors, but they do this without Boogie. And so there he is, free agent, needing an opportunity to prove that he is still a world-class talent. And I believe he will be. There's no reason to think he's not going to recover and to come back from the Achilles tear. And I mentioned this stat before, but it still blows me away. Steve Kerr hasn't had a 2010 guy so far with the Warriors, meaning 20 points, 10 rebounds, averaged per game, until Boogie, who's done it for seven straight seasons. Nerd alert! Cousins in his camp, they're the ones who reached out to Myers and the Warriors. And that's another part of this that I just can't get over. No other team can bitch and complain about this because you all had the same opportunity to offer Boogie a contract.
Oh, my God, what just happened?
For a year and $3.5 million. And I think it's cool that not only did Cousins reach out to Bob Myers, have that conversation about joining the Warriors, but then he talked to multiple Warriors teammates who he had played with, some of them, for USA Basketball.
Every guy said, let's go get another championship. That was the first thing. And what really put me at ease was just the excitement. You know, they're a well-established team, and they could have easily been like, no, we don't need them, or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, they were excited, like a team that's never accomplished anything. So just having that feeling alone gave me a sense of, you know, just being able to relax about it or be calm about the situation.
Well, that hunger makes them dangerous, does it not? As a side note, it's not like this team is satisfied or content. Nope. They actually have this killer instinct where they just want to stomp the rest of the NBA into submission. Now, last year, they looked vulnerable to me. But the fact that they were able to win despite all of the bumps and bruises, the ups and downs, the backs and forths, they're scary. Now, we don't know when Boogie's going to be ready, but it certainly does sound like he's already fitting in. In fact, he's a guy who reminds me a little bit of a Draymond, as if the Warriors needed any more of an edge.
A chance to play for a winning culture. I also have a chance to play with some of the, you know, the most talented players of this era. So, you know, those two things alone, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Just to put this out there, my favorite by far is Clay. I mean, our short time together, you know, in the summers, like, for him to be as dull as he is, it's never a dull moment. I really enjoyed my time with Clay, but they're all great guys. Me and Draymond click right away. We're two goofballs that, you know, like to joke around a lot, so we click right away. Same thing with KD, and same thing with Steph. Everybody knows he's a goofball.
I mean, he's like, I'm just going to put this right out there. My favorite teammate by far is Clay Thompson. For as dull as he can be, he's not dull at all. And then
he's, you know,
like,
you shake it off.
And then, oh, by the way, can you hear Tim Roy? Tim Roy is, this must be some kind of an event where it's an MC and they're all sitting up there, because maybe like a get to know Boogie Cousins. Hang out with your Golden State Warriors kind of a thing. And you can hear that Tim Roy is the MC for this deal because I can hear him laugh on the microphone. So if you go back to the part where, when you find it, let me know when you queued up, where he starts talking about how my favorite teammate by far, and he's like, I'm just going to get this out there. Nobody asked him who his favorite teammate was, but I like it. I like the fact that this group of guys has already made him feel comfortable. He's already good with it. He's happy. And he feels like he fits in. Same as Kevin Durant. There was no posturing. There were no peeing on fire hydrants. This is a group that wants to keep winning. And they're good with bringing in other veterans. They like the fact that they can bring in another really big personality. And also, when he says, me and Dre clicked right away, oh dear, everybody better watch out.
They're my favorite by far is Clay. I mean, our short time together, you know, in the summers, like, for him to be as dull as he is, it's never a dull moment.
Oh, there's Tim right there. You can hear Tim laugh right there. Anyway, that's hysterical. But yeah, KD, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, there's your core. And now they're throwing in this big personality in Boogie Cousins. There's no judgment for him. They're not worried about a reputation that precedes him because they all know. They all know. Everything they say gets scrutinized. Every little thing that they do on the court gets blown out of proportion for better or for worse. They are used to the spotlight. They are used to playing with an edge. That's how they keep their advantage, is playing with that edge. And now here comes Boogie Cousins. Who knew he would fit in perfectly with the Golden State Warriors? Who knew? Except it makes so much sense because these guys go out of their way to adopt, to adapt. Anything that will help them stay on top, they're all in. They put aside their egos. They put aside any personality conflicts. And there are plenty of personality conflicts. These are a lot of strong personalities. But man, they encourage Boogie to join them. Not only because he's an all-star and a 2010 guy, but because they like him. Just, it's actually not a formula that should be criticized. It's actually a formula, in my opinion, from front office down, that should be imitated and should be admired. I did a CBS Sports Minute on the Golden State Warriors after they announced the Boogie signing. Don't hate, imitate. You want to get better? Do it like them. Put your egos aside for the good of the team. Also, it certainly does help if no other team is bothering to offer Boogie Cousins a contract. And you have a party of one. All right, coming up next, second round of the Open Championship is underway. And later on Friday, Brittany Lincecum will tee off with the men again after her first round on Thursday. Not getting a lot of attention, but it caught my eye.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Raiders go into an eye on the Wale ahead of Marshawn Lynch. First and 10. Led in the chin strap of the logo at midfield off the right side. Big hole. Lynch is gone. 30, 20, 10, 5. Beast mode. Touchdown. Raiders. 51 yards.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The recognizable voice of Greg Papa. 21 years on the Oakland Raiders radio network. Why do you care? Why are we playing the highlight of a Marshawn Lynch touchdown? Well, because this surprising news dropped on Thursday. This actually caught me by surprise. There isn't a whole lot that does in sports, especially not in sports media, but this one did. The Oakland Raiders dump Greg Papa as their radio play-by-play voice. The signature call, touchdown Raiders. And in his place, they hire Brent Musburger. Brent Musburger. I mean, we all know the voice of Brent Musburger. The guy's 79 years old. And he left college football to start a channel on Sirius XM that's a sports betting channel. It's called Vegas Sports and Information Network. It's about sports betting, which he generally did work into conversation on pretty much every broadcast. He spent 17 years at CBS, 27 years at ESPN. He did NFL as well as college football. Also college basketball, before retiring in 2017 and going to Las Vegas. Oh, I guess he's bored because now he's back as the new play-by-play voice of the Oakland Raiders. This is amazing. And I don't mean amazing as in yay. I just mean amazing as in what a turn of events. 2 decades with Greg Papa and the Raiders usher him out. Now, I don't know if it's because they really wanted Brent Musburger and convinced him to be part of their network, or if they found out Musburger was interested. I have no idea which domino dropped first. Only that Brent Musburger is back. And with the Raiders soon moving to Vegas, oh, that seems easy. Neat and tidy. I hope that Papa finds another job in the NFL or in play-by-play quickly. I hope he doesn't have to sit out a season. I mean, we're close, right? We're close to the beginning of the season, so it's hard to find another job right now. But he's so good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brent Musburger is a Hall of Famer. He's an icon in the sports broadcasting industry. It still seems like a bit of a underhanded move. But again, I don't know all the details. I just know that this was a surprise to both Greg Papa and to Tom Flores, who is the Super Bowl winning coach, who was his partner as the analyst, and he's also out. He's still with the Raiders. The Raiders are his organization, his franchise. He's still with the team in a different capacity, but is no longer doing their radio broadcasts. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Hey, guess what, Isaac? One of our listeners posted on Facebook that his wife likes my dress. So, haha.
Cool, wife.
I appreciate that. I would expect that there would be some other females out there who would be able to understand why you dress as a professional and you act like a professional. Plus, it's a cool dress, which means I wanted to wear it. Work is what I do, so here I am. I wasn't going to wear it to pack. 855-212-4227, that's our number, our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. With some great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, and if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Even as we're keeping our eyes on the early stages of the second round at the Open Championship in Carnoustie, I love that name, Carnoustie, Scotland, we've got Ryan Moore, an American, at -1 through the first 5 holes, which means he is just a shot back of Kevin Kisner, who was the first round leader, also an American, and a friend of Jordan Spieth's. So it's kind of fun, even if you don't know who Kevin Kisner is, these two guys pal around a lot. And so Kisner's already spent a ton of time with the claret jug because Jordan had it all of last year.
I spent a lot of time with Jordan in that claret jug. I flew home with him last year after he won, and then flew to Paris with him, and then over here from Paris, and now I'm staying with him this week, and he no longer has it. He gave it back Monday, right? So it would be cool to return the favor and let him look at it a little bit.
Going to keep it all in that friendship. So Kisner had the -5, while Jordan Spieth had a +1 after the first round. And he did say he had a couple of brain farts, his phrase, not mine, a couple of brain farts toward the end of the round.
I felt like I was really going well. I had a nice par save after driving at the bunker on 6. Other than that, it was very stress-free. I was putting the ball where I needed to. Having no more than maybe 4 feet for par on every hole. It was just a clean round of golf. And I've done a bit of that this year, just the decision-making that's cost me. But the misses towards the end were the exact misses that I've been having that I'm working away from. My swing just didn't quite hold up to the end of the round.
Jordan Spieth, the defending champion at the Open Championship. That sounded funny. The reigning champ at the Open. He will tee off at just before 10 o'clock Eastern time, so just before 7 Pacific time. He was actually already on the course as we were in the middle of our show last night. And so the way they do this is the guys who tee off early on Thursday then tee off later on Friday. That's they alternate rounds one and two generally, which means Tiger Woods, who was later on Thursday in the opening round, will be earlier on Friday. And so his tee time actually will take place before we get off the air, 5:20 Eastern, 2:20 on the West Coast. If you would like to stay up after you work second shift or you're heading home late and you think, oh, I'm not ready to go to bed yet, too much adrenaline, hey, Tiger Woods will be on TV. Tiger had an even round, so five strokes off the pace, actually better than Jordan Spieth.
My feels are much better than they were.
And he did say that it was tough. It was really tough. Laura Davies, who's English and just won the U.S. Women's Senior Open, joined us earlier this week live here on After Hours. And we asked her about, you know, how she'd be spending this week. And she said, I'm going to sit around and watch the Open Championship because the fairways are like freeways in terms of how hard they are and how the balls will bounce. And so Tiger Woods said the same thing. It's really difficult to stop the ball when you drive it or use your irons. And it because it's bouncing, it could end up taking a bad bounce and then bounce right off the side of the fairway, even if you drove it straight or you happen to hit it the way that you wanted to the location.
Carnival
that,
golf.
That you wanted to, yes. Thank you, Phil. And so the course is quick, and it's a tough place to play. Those things we know. Rory McIlroy says he doesn't expect that the rain will soften things up at all. They are going to have a bunch of rain on and off throughout the day on Friday, but he feels like they're so hard, the fairways are so hard, that it's not really going to help. But Tiger Woods is happy with how he was after the opening round.
I got off to a great start, and I birdied one and birdied four, and I was right there, and you know, I had an 8-iron to 6, and you know, looking like I could, you know, really do something here. Unfortunately, it didn't quite turn out that way, but, you know, part of this afternoon wave, I was one of the lower rounds.
So Tiger Woods at even par. To me, that feels like a win. One round down, that's a win. He's not having to make up ground in the second round. And in addition, you can't get to the weekend if you go all hog wild. Oh, see, there I go. I like to try new things, try new word combinations. If he's going to go all nutso, then in the opening round have ground to make up, or the opposite, right? I mean, either way, in rounds one and two, as much as you want to be aggressive and keep yourself in play, for Tiger, after not making the cut at the U.S. Open, it's also important to put himself in a position where he's not putting too many times because the putter hasn't been great.
Over the putt.
Not saying conservative necessarily, but recognizing big picture. You cannot win the tournament on Thursday or Friday. You can't win the tournament at all if you don't make it to the weekend. So goal number one, make the cut. Even, good start. Now, it's not the Open Championship, but it's a PGA Tour event for the men featuring one woman. You know, this caught my attention for a couple of reasons. Of course, Brittany Lincecum is one of the best golfers on the LPGA Tour. And so for her to tee off in a men's event, it should be a big story, right? Except that it got almost no attention. How weird is that? It's a week in which it's supposed to be slow in sports, haha. But there she is in Kentucky at the Barbasol Championship, teeing off in a PGA Tour event, a female for the first time since Michelle Wee a decade ago. Do you guys remember how much attention there was on Michelle Wee? The scrutiny, the spotlight, the interviews. She was a household name. And here's Brittany Lincecum, who's an established winner on the LPGA Tour. And it was barely a blip on the radar. That kind of caught me off guard. Now, she did fire a plus 6 in the first round. One of the things that, of course, you knew, well, if you had known about it at all, but you would expect would be an issue, is that she doesn't drive the ball as far as the men on the tour. That's obvious. But she certainly does have the game to compete. She has had a couple of holes in which she struggled, but otherwise, poised.
It was great. You know, I was actually calmer than I thought I was going to be. I thought I was just going to be a nervous wreck. But after that first tee shot, I was pretty happy that I found the fairway. And pretty happy with my game overall. I had two bad holes, but I drove it well. I did all the things that I said I needed to do. But just my putter let me down today.
Brittany Lincecum trying to make the cut as a woman at a PGA Tour event for only the second time in history. And no, it wasn't Michelle Wee. Michelle Wee was the last one to tee off in a PGA event a decade ago, 2008. Babe Zaharias, maybe the greatest female golfer of all time. She made the cut at a men's event in 1945. She's the only one, and it only happened that one time.
Nerd alert.
And so here is Lincecum, who has LPGA Tour victories, eight of them, plus two majors. Again, established winner. This is her stated goal. She wants to make the cut. And so she's got some work to do. But not too nervous. Put her tee shot on that first hole right in the fairway. I love the courage. I love the bravery. I love the fact that she's not worried about what people think. Should she be here? Should she not? Do the guys want me? Do they not? And I can identify with some of that as a woman who works in an industry that's male dominated. Sometimes I feel like I don't belong. And I start to think, maybe I shouldn't be here every now and then. Not as much anymore. Not that I've been doing this for now almost 20 years. But there were times when I wondered, is this really for me? People don't think I belong. I'm not like everybody else. Maybe this is the wrong choice. And it takes the ability to block out what everyone else says. It's an acquired skill. I didn't do it very well at the beginning. To not worry about what other people think of you, but to do what is right for you. And so I love this about Brittany Lincecum, and I'm feeling it. I've got all the feels, and I'm rooting for her to make the cut at the Barbasol Championship. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.